We're holding on Mem Dalet Amud Beis by the second Mishnah, four lines from the bottom. Mishnah says, Shur Shehu Yotzei Lisokel, if a shur is being taken out to be given skila, so we've been talking the last couple of days about the various conditions under which that'll happen, but you do have where a shur needs to be given skila. By the way, the Gemara tells us, the Mishnah tells us in Sanhedrin, that judgment has to be done by a Beis Din of 23. We learned yesterday about Reb Shimon pointing out there's a hekesh between the person and the shur, where it says all of yumos. So Reb Shimon had learned from that, but the same way as if a person intends to kill one person and kills a different one, then Reb Shimon held that he's potter. The same way as shur, the Chachamim do agree with that hekesh, and they use it to teach us a different din, that when a shur is going to be judged and given skila, it has to be judged by a Beis Din of 23, just like a person would be. Anyway, so now the Mishnah says, bottom of Mem Dalet Amud Beis, shur shehu yotzei lisokel, when a shur is being taken out to be given skila, the dish, or not even being taken out already, but it means as soon as the Gemar Din has been done, as soon as they decided that yes, there's enough evidence and the circumstances are such that the shur gets skila. So then, the dishe bailov, if now the owner declares the shur hekdish ene mukdash, then the hekdish is not valid because now it's also bahana. So now it's also bahana, and he's not able to be makdish it anymore. Tosfos actually points out, there is an opinion of Rabbeinu Tam, particularly in a Gemara in Zvachim, who learns that the shur anis, now like this, we've learned before that the shur anisko, after it's given skila, it's also bana, and for that matter, we said even if the owner were to shecht it, then as the Gemara is going to go on to say, as the Mishnah is going to go on to say over here, that if you were to shecht it, the meat would be also. However, Rabbeinu Tam, in a Gemara in Zvachin, and briefly over here in Bava Kamma, learns that actually the shur hanisko is not also bahana while it's alive. So according to him, the vort is, you're not allowed to be makdash it or any of the other things that we're going to say in the Mishnah over here, because as soon as possible after the Gemara Din, it has to be taken out and given the skila, you can't delay things, so therefore you can't be makdash it, because even though in principle the hekdash would take effect for the short amount of time until it's given skila, but in practice, you're supposed to do skila as soon as possible. So you don't really have time to make it hektish. The Meiri actually adds that if you were to be makdish it, what you actually would have to do, you would make the owner be poydet. You would make him give hektish the value of it. After all, he did give it to hektish, and then Basedin would give it skila. Anyway, continues the Mishnah. According to the simple way we would understand it, it would mean that you're not able to be makdish it because it's not your property anymore to be makdish it. According to the Meiri, it is your property to the extent that you're now going to have to be poydet from Beis Din, but it's still going to be given skila. Shechtoi, and if he shechted it, besorei osur, that and if he shechted the animal after the Gemar Din, then the meat would be also, as we've learned before. The im adchala nigma dina hikdishet bailov. What happens if before Gemar Din he was makdashit mukdash? Then it is mukdash until the Gemar Din. Eventually, when the Gemar Din comes, then we're going to have to take it out, and give it skill. Actually, that's the case that the Meiri is talking about. When he did it after Gemar Din, everybody would agree it's not his anymore to be makdish. So then there's no talk even of him being poydet from hekdish. Rather, what the Meiri says is, if he was makdish it before the Gemar Din, the fact is eventually it's going to be given skila. But meanwhile, in between, it is considered hektish. Rashi actually points out there's a different nafkamina. If he were to use the shur after that, he would have committed me'ila, because the fact is the hektish before Gemar Din is valid. Eventually it's going to be overridden by the fact that we need to give it skila. But nevertheless, in between, if he uses it, he would have committed me'ila. And then again, the Me'iri says that in addition, also it means that we're going to require him to buy it back from hektish in order to give it skila. Anyway, continues the Mishnah. The im shachtoi, if at that point he shechts the animal before the Gemar Din, Vesare mutar, then the meat is mutar to eat, because the concept that we learned before, where it says v'lo ya'ochol as psari or v'ala shonoki, that would only apply after gemar din. Continues the Mishnah. Mustra, a different din, not directly, not related to the previous one about before and after gemar din, but rather in general, when a person owns an animal and then he gave it over to a shomer and caused damage in the possession of the shomer, mustra the shomer chinam or shoyel knows a socher or socher. If he gave over the animal to one of the four kinds of shomerim, nichnasu tachas amaylim, then they go in instead of the owner, meaning that they take over responsibility for it. Therefore, mord mashalim nezek shalim, v'tam mashalim chatzin nezek. So if the animal is a mord, then they're going to have to pay nezek shalim for its damages, and if it's a tam, they're going to be paying chatzin nezek. What happens if the animal kills while it's in their possession? That we're going to see in the Gemara. Okay. So the Gemara says Tanan Rabban, we learn in a Braisa, Shur Shahemis Adam, if a shur killed a person, Shur Shahemis, if a person killed, Ad Shalin Nigmar Dino, if before the Gemar Din, Mochroi, the person were to sell the animal, Mochr, it would be considered a valid sale. Now, a valid sale as far as what? Rashi says the other person is going to be able to plow with it until the Gemar Din. In fact, the Maharshal has a girsa in Rashi. You have the Rashi at the end of the previous Amud that says, even according to the Chachamim, we still say that now we learned yesterday that Rabbi Yehuda had held that if the ownership of the animal changed in between any of these three things, the actual killing, the Hamoda Bedin, going to Beis Din, and the Gemar Din, then we said Rabbi Yehuda would hold that now it's not Chayiv Skila anymore, only if it stays in the same ownership throughout. Now, the Chachamim disagree with that. Nevertheless, it's still Chayiv Skila. Then Rashi goes on to say that Mocher and Mocher. So the Maharshal says this is actually one long Rashi that even the Chachamim would agree then that if you sell it, it is a valid sale insofar as you are able to sell it for the time being for plowing. Now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that sale would actually save the shur from misa. But according to the Chachamim, it won't do that. But at least for the time being, you're going to be able to plow with it. Now Tosfos quotes one version of Rashi that says, why is it mocher and mocher? Because the seller can say, listen, as soon as you bought the animal, you could have shechted it. Who said that? Because after all, you knew that it was an animal that was killed, that had killed, and it's chayiv misa. Why didn't you shecht it right away, given that I sold it to you before Gmar Din? Be that as it may, however Tosfos says that may be, but then what about if he sold it after Gemar Din? Couldn't you say the same thing that if nothing else, we should say, okay, he can't shecht it at that point because it will be osur, but at least then we should say that the money is considered a matana. Why do we say einu mocher, implying that he has to return the money? And Tosfos says, because not everybody knows that concept that a shor anisko is osur to do that a shor anisko has to be killed right away. He might think that it's mutter to shecht it or even to keep it around for a while to plow. So therefore it has to be considered a mekach tos. We can't say that he knowingly gave money for something which is osur. Be that as it may, Tosfos themselves points out that what it means, according to Rabbeinu Tam, that says that that the shor aniskol is mutter b'hana while it's still alive, then it means not just that it is sold, as the Gemara says over here, as far as that you can plow with it. The point is, in principle, the guy would be able to plow with it indefinitely. In practice, we have to take the animal as soon as possible and give it skila. But at least while he's doing that, then at least he is mutter to plow with it during that time. Whereas according to Rashi, it would be osur. He wouldn't be allowed to plow with it. But if he did, then nevertheless, you know, he still accomplished that. And therefore it would be, here we're talking about it's before Gmar Din. So therefore mocher, so for sure it's sold. So again, according to the Chachamim then, the point is, it may not last by him for very long. He may only get a few days of plowing out of it before Beis Din does the Gemar Din, decides the animal is chayiv skila, and takes it away to give it skila. But meanwhile, it is sold for that period of time. As opposed to after Gemar Din, then it wouldn't work, ene mocher. It wouldn't be a valid sale. Continues the Mishnah, continues the Braisa, Hikdishoi, if he was makdish the animal before Gmardin, Mukdash, then it would be a valid Hekdish, where again, the point is, Me'ila would apply to it, he would have to buy it back from Hekdish, etc. Shochto, if he shechts it before Gmardin, Besore Mutter, then the meat of it is Mutter to eat. Hechzira Shomer base by love, if at that point before the Gmardin, the shomer returned it to the owner. So we're saying, in other words, that the shur had killed while it was in the possession of the shomer, and now the case went to Beis Din, and before Gmar Din he returned it to the owner. Muchzer, then it is considered a valid. It is considered that he validly returned it. Now the owner can't say, wait, you gave me back an animal that's no good, that's about to be taken out to Skila. Nevertheless, the fact is Gmar Din has not taken place yet. Therefore it's okay. On the other hand, Bishan Nigmar Dina Mochrei. On the other hand, if he sold it only after the Gmar Din, then it wouldn't be a valid sale at all, which would mean, in other words, he'd have to refund the money. Whether because it's actually not considered his mammon at all, or according to Rabbi Natan, it is his mammon to that extent, but nevertheless, it's a mekach tos, because the other guy will have thought that he can hold on to it for a certain amount of time, and really, it's not so. Ein ma'aninus dinoi, we're not going to delay the din as soon as possible after the gemar din. We're going to take the animal to be given skila. So therefore, the new owner hasn't gotten much use out of it, and therefore, it would be a mekach tos. So hikdishay einem mukdash. If he was makdish at that point, then it's not hekdish. Then you don't even have the concept of me'ila in it, or having to buy it back from hekdish or anything like that, because it doesn't belong to him to be able to make it hekdish. Shochtay b'sarei osur. If at that point he shechts it, the meat is osur, as we've learned before. Hechzira shomer lebeis bailam einem mukser. And at that point, after gemar din, if the shomer were to return it to the owner, we wouldn't say that patters him from having to pay. He would still have to pay because what he returned is not his mammon to be able to return. On the other hand, on the other hand, Rabbi Yaakov disagrees and says that no, even after Gmar Din, if the Shomer returned it, it would be a valid return, and therefore he's potter from anything further. The Gemara says, Lema b'hokam miflagi. In that case, would we have to say that Rabbi Yaakov and the Chachamim are arguing on the following point? Maybe apparently the Chachamim do not hold when it comes to an Isur Hana that we don't say Harei Shalach Lefanecha. We're going to talk about this concept in more detail later in the Masechta, and then in the last Perakim of our Masechta. But say, for example, a person stole chametz from somebody else before Pesach. Now, after Pesach, if he didn't in between sell it to a guy, then that chametz is also b'hana. Is he able now after Pesach to say Harei Shalach Lefanecha? Look, I stole a pound of chametz from you. Here's your pound of chametz back. It's also b'hana, and therefore you can't do anything with it. Not my problem. The fact is, I stole this amount from you, and I'm returning you this amount. Do we say that, or do we say that not? So it sounds like the Chachamim say by Surah Hana, we don't say that. Therefore, they say that now the owner says to the Shomer, look, this ox is now also b'hana. You can't, your returning to me is not considered a valid return. Because before it was Mutar B'Hana, and now it's Asa B'Hana. V'Rab Yaakov Sava Omrim B'Yisurei Hana Harei Shalach L'Panecha. It sounds like Rab Yaakov would say that sort of thing is valid, that he could say by the chometz that Harei Shalach L'Panecha, in the same way here by the ox, he can say Harei Shalach L'Panecha. The question is that the machlokes? Omer Rabba, but Rabba says no. D'kula Alma Omrim B'Yisurei Hana Harei Shalach L'Panecha. Everybody agrees that by Yisurei Hana, he is able to say Harei Shalach L'Panecha, because De'imkein Niflag L'Inin Chometz V'Pesach. Otherwise, if that weren't the case, the fact is we should find the Chachamim arguing in that case of Chometz V'Pesach. When we have in the next to last parak of Or Masechta, when we start dealing with these dinim of a gazlan and him returning the object that he stole, and what the details are on that, we find that din over there that if a person stole chametz in Pesach and then after Pesach he returns it, then he can say Harei Shalach L'Fanecha. The Mishnah said so. Now the way it goes over there actually is we learn in the Mishnah over there that when it comes to chametz for Pesach, if he returns it after Pesach, then he can say Harei Shalach Panecha. And the same way, a shur until the Gemar Din, but not after the Gemar Din. Now, who is it that holds the difference between before and after Gemar Din? Is the Chachamim, because according to Rabbi Yaakov here in our Gemara, there's no difference. So if the concern was, if the issue was that you can't say Harei Shalach Lefanecha Ba'isori Hanah, why would they be arguing only by a Shur Anisko? They should be arguing about Chometz for Pesach as well. So obviously, therefore, it must be that in general we do say Harei Shalach Lefanecha, but only when the Issur comes on its own, for example, Chometz for Pesach. In other words, in that case, then you have to realize, by the way, in those times, it wasn't really very common that people sold their chametz before Pesach. Nowadays, everybody sells their leftover chametz before Pesach. So maybe it would be, conceivably then the halacha would be different. I guess maybe when we get to this issue on Daf Tzadik Ches, maybe we'll look into that. But in any case, in those times, usually it was chametz before Pesach. You would use it up. You would eat it, or you would burn it when it came out of Pesach. So now, when it comes after Pesach, the owner of the chametz, so the gazlan is saying Harei Shalach Lefanecha. The owner can't say, yeah, but I would have done something else with it, because there isn't really much else that he would have done with it any different. So even the chachamim would agree that he can say Harei Shalach Lefanecha. So why are they arguing when it comes to the Shur Anisko? Says Rabbah, there must be a different consideration, because here we're talking about that there's something that he could have done different. So Ela Hocha Begumin Dina Shal Shur Shal Rufan of Kamifli. Here the machlokas is: are you able to do the Gemar Din of the ox? Do you, without the ox being present? Now the Chachamim hold that the Gemar Din, when Beis Din is going to decide that this ox is Chayev Skila, the ox itself has to be present. There are Mefoshim who say that maybe it means the owner has to be present, but for the most part, in general, the understanding seems to be that the ox itself has to be present. The same way as when a person, again, we learn from that Hekish, Kemisus Bailam, Kachmisus Asher, the same way as when a person is being judged by Beis Din, he has to be present for them to decide that he's Chayiv Misa, the same way with the ox. So the Chachamim hold that's how it is. So therefore, de omale, so now the owner has a valid claim against the shomer. He can say, ihad dauta niali, if you had returned the ox to me before the gmar din, have a ma'arach nalela agma, then I would have had the animal run away to the meadow. So it wouldn't be befun of, and therefore Beis Din wouldn't be able to do the gmar din. Hashta aspaster l'toroi b'yadar d'lo yachilna l'ishtu yadine ba'ade. Now you cause my shur to be grabbed by a Beis Din, by someone from whom I don't have a recourse against, meaning, in other words, I can't go to Beis Din and say, you're chayev for killing my ox. What do you mean? They're going to say, no, your ox is chayev misa. We did exactly what we're supposed to. So therefore, I hold it against you, the shomer, that you shouldn't have done that. You should have given it back to me, where I could have taken care of the matter, and then therefore you're chayev for me for the hezek of the fact that I lost an ox, and you can't say that you just returned it, and that's that. You can't say Harei Shalach Lefanecha, because there's something different that you could have done. So that's what the Chachamim hold. Now Rashi also points out the point that when he uses the expression Iad Dauta Niale, if you had returned it to me, Rashi explains it doesn't really mean that he's saying if you had returned it to me, then I would have eaten it. Rather, Rashi says it's not so much the chiyuv that you didn't return it to me, because by chometz for Pesach also you can say if you had returned it to me before Pesach, I could have eaten it. Now I have something useless, and yet we don't say that. And even according to Rabbi Yaakov, fine, you need the shur to be around in order for Gemar Din. But according to Rabbi Yaakov also, why shouldn't the owner be able to say if you had given it to me before the Gemar Din, I could have shechted it? Now you waited until after the Gemar Din, and now I can't shecht it anymore. So rather, Rashi says the chiyuv that the owner wants to be mechayev him is because he actually took the animal to Beis Din. So he's saying you actually took it to Beis Din, and therefore you caused me a loss rather than just leaving it. And if you had returned it to me, then I wouldn't have brought it to Beis Din. I would have had it run away. I would have had it run away to the meadow. Which now Tosfos has some discussion about that, and says among other things, Tosfos says for one thing, you know, and if he hadn't brought it to Beis Din, so Beis Din would have sent bailiffs to go and take it away from him. So you could still say so what's the problem? What did he do? So rather, Tosfos discusses that the machloikas between Rabbi Yaakov and the Chachamim over here would essentially be on the matter of what we learned in Gittin about Hezek Shein and Nicker Shmei Hezek or Lav Shmei Hezek. Whether we say that a Hezek that's not physically visible on the thing, where it's only a ruchniyistic hezek. In this case, here the din of the shirt is different. Before it wasn't chayav misa, now it is chayav misa. So Tosfos learns that actually the machlokas of Rabbi Yaakov and the Chachamim is basically on that point: is it considered hezek? Is it considered hezek nicker or not? The Chachamim hold because ein goyim din shel shur ela b'fanav. Therefore, the fact that you when the shur was grabbed and brought to Beis Din, that would be considered a hezek nicker, because now you can see. Before it wasn't in front of Beis Din, and now it is. So the Chachamim would hold that would be considered a hezek nicker. Rabbi Yaakov would say, look, you could do the gemar din even if the shur is not present. So therefore, the shur having been brought to Beis Din is not really the cause of the nezek. So therefore, that wouldn't be considered a hezek nicker. That's according to Tosfos. That would be the understanding of the machlokas. There's a couple of interesting things from Achronim on this as well. The Chassam Sofer points out, even though there is you do have a concept that the Gemara mentions in Chulin, that if you have a bird, for example, that killed somebody, and we know the concept of skila of animals applies not only to a shur, it applies to all animals or birds. We're going to learn in more detail about that at the end of the next parak. And the Gemara mentions there in Chulin that if you have a bird that killed somebody, then you don't have the mitzvah of shiluach hakan adrabi. You have to bring it to Beis Din and have it killed. So the Chassam Sofer says yes. When the bird is hefker, then anybody has to do that. Here, where the shur has an owner, then what the Chachamim are saying, what the shomer should do, give it back to the owner before Gmar Din. Fine, it won't save it from Misa, but at least at that point, now it's the owner's responsibility to take care of removing this dangerous animal from the world. So then the owner can go ahead proactively before Gmar Din and shecht it, and that way at least he can use the meat. And if he doesn't want to fulfill his chiyuv and he's going to make it run away to the meadow, fine, but it's not your, the shomer's problem. That's on the owner that he did that, and Beis Din will sanction him as necessary, but the point is it's his responsibility. You can't say on your own, well, this is a dangerous animal, I have to kill it, because the fact is it does have an owner. In that connection also, the famous Rabbi Yitzchok Arhan inspector points out in one of his truvas, and makes a point related to this as well, that it's the responsibility of the owner is to make sure the animal is removed from the world. If he wants to accomplish it by bringing it to Beis Din and have it given skila, fine, he can do that. But if he instead wants to accomplish the same thing by shechting it, that's also, he's entitled to do that before Gemar Din. So therefore, he has a valid claim, according to the Chachamim, against the Shomer, saying, why didn't you return it to me? And I would have dealt with it in my own way, rather than like this, you brought it to Beis Din, and now it ended up getting, skila. So that's according to the Chachamim.
Let's say you would shecht it.
If you were to shecht it before Gemar Din, then it would be fine. He'd be able to
eat it. Eat it?
Yeah, before Gemar Din, yes.
Are you sure?
Yes, that's what the Gemara is saying. Whereas Rabbi Yaakov holds that no, the Gemar Din can take place even when the shur is not there. The Amalei, so therefore the shomer can say to the owner, "Soif soif, migma have a gamer leladina." So it doesn't matter whether the animal had run away to the meadow. It's still the Gemar Din would have been accomplished whether you were there, or whether the shur was there or not to watch it, and therefore you can't say that I caused you any kind of hazard. Again, as Rashi says, it's not so much that the owner is saying, if you had given it to me, I could have shechted it, because after all, you could argue the same thing with chametz for Pesach. If you had given it back to me before Pesach, I would have eaten it. Rather, the point is, that as Rashi is saying, that he's saying that you actually went and gave it over, be a dime to Beis Din, and therefore you caused me a nezek. And Rabbi Yaakov says, what's the difference? Even if I hadn't given it over to Beis Din, they still would have done the Gemar Din. And once the Gemar Din is done, it would have been osav ana, whether it's in the meadow or not. And therefore, I didn't make you lose anything.
So the other two alternatives is to make it hefker.
No, so or, according to the Chacham, making it hefker is not going to help. After Gemar Din, it's after Gemar Din, it's going to be osav ana regardless. Before Gemar Din, well, that's the thing. According to the Chacham. Before Gemar Din, you could make it hefker, but it's not. But still, that so if the ox is not around anymore, according to the Chachamim, they won't be able to do the Gemar Din unless the ox is around. Therefore, that's what the owner is saying. Therefore, I have a claim against you. Why'd you bring the ox to Beis Din? Instead, you should have given it back to me. I would have had it run away, or I would have done something with it, where therefore Beis Din would not be able to do the Gemar Din. Whereas Rabbi Yaakov is saying, there's no way to block Beis Din from doing
the Gemar Din. What did he get out of that?
He gets out of it that he doesn't lose an ox. No, afterwards he can shecht it. Afterward, that gives him at least time. That at least gives him time to decide what to do, whether he wants to shecht it or whatever. That's all according to Rashi. The point of Tosfos again, the vort is that that the Chachamim are saying this is a hezek nicker that you actually brought the animal to Beis Din, and Rabbi Yaakov is saying no, it's a hezek shein and nicker, and you can't be mechayev a person only to some extent midrabbanan. You can be mechayev a person to pay for a hezek shein and nicker, as we learned in Gittin, but midaraisa hezek shein and nicker is loy shmei hezek, and here it's a hezek shein and nicker. Rabbi Yaakov would say, says Tosfos, because either way the show could have been given skila regardless.
And hektish.
Hektish. We're not talking about hektish. We're talking about over here as far as a show. Yeah. Okay. Fine. So that would be the point. Says Rabba, of the machlokas between Rabbi Yaakov and the Chachamim. Why so it's not a question of whether we say usually by isturei hanah harei shalach lefanecha. Had it been the person stole chametz and didn't return it till after Pesach, yes, he could say harei shalach lefanecha. He wouldn't be required to pay. But in this case, because according to Rashi, the owner says that you caused me a hezek b'yadayim, and according to Tosfos, because you caused me a hezek nicker, therefore you chayev to pay. Whereas Rabbi Yaakov would hold that it's not considered a hezek b'yadayim, because either way they could have made the shur osur even shaloi b'fanav, or because it's a hezek shein and nicker according to Tosfos, and therefore I the shomer I'm not chayev to pay. Okay, so the Gemara says my time of the rabbanon. So Rav Yaakov Sava Gomer Dinah Shoshur Shalai B'Fanav Do Amalei. So he tells him Soif Migma Have Gamer Leila Dinah. No matter what, either way, they would have been Gomer the Din. They would have given the verdict that the shirt is Chayiv Skila, whether the ox is here or not. Because Rav Yaakov holds the ox doesn't have to be there to be sentenced to Misa. So therefore, I didn't do anything that wouldn't have been done otherwise anyway. So my time in the Rabbanon, why do the Chachamim say that the Gemar Din has to be done with the ox present? Because the Pasuk says, Asher Yisako V'gam Ba'ol of Yomos. The shur has to be given skila, and also the animal, and also the owner should be put to death, which, as we've learned before, primarily means that the owner is chayev misa b'dei shemayim, and therefore he needs to pay kofer. But we also learn from it, k'misas abaylam kach misas asher, just at the same kind of rules as apply to the death of the baylam, if he's chayev misa in a different case, the same way applies to the misas asher, ma baylam b'fneim asher b'fonav, the same way as the baylam, if the owner himself would be chayev misa for killing or for something else, then he would have to be in front of Beis Din. Rashi says, we learn that from a pasuk that says, ad omdoi lifnei ha'ed al ha'mishpat, that when can you sentence a reitzeach? Only if he stands before the Eidah, before the Beis Din, for judgment. So we see he has to be present.
The shur also.
So therefore, it's a lacham, learn from that. So the same thing, the shur, ma baylam b'fnei, ma shur b'fonav, the same way the shur has to be present. V'rab Yaakov, what does Rab Yaakov answer to that? A hekesh is a very strong thing. You can't easily slug that up. He says, b'shlema baylam b'nei tainanini. Because he says, you know what? The owner, the reason why he has to be in front of Beis Din is because he's capable of bringing up tainus in his defense. Why can't you sentence him in absentia when he's not present? Is because if he was present, he might be able to argue things in his defense. And without him being present, we don't have that. And since we know Beis Din has to try every possible angle to exonerate him, then therefore we want him to be present for that. El Asher Bartan also, is Asher able to make a taina? Obviously not. So therefore, there's no purpose in having to have it in front of Beis Din, which Tosfos says, fine, yes, we have the Hekish, but that we still have to realize that there's a svara to say that hekesh, usually we say a concept called ein hekesh lemechze. When we have a hekesh between two things in a pasuk, we don't do it by halves. We don't say we're makesh it only for some things, but not for others. But Rabbi Yaakov says, fine. But obviously the hekesh is only meant to apply to things that can logically apply to one thing versus another. And here that's not the case. So therefore, so Rabbi Yaakov says that it's clear that the hekesh was never meant to apply to it can apply to, for example, the fact that both of them need a beis din of 23, but we can't say that it should apply that both of them have to be present because there's no purpose in having the shor present. In that sense, in other words, it would sort of mean that Rabbi Yaakov's opinion then would sort of be similar to that of Rabbi Shimon, which we find in various places in Shas, which is called Darshin and Taima Dekra, where Rabbi Shimon says we try to look at the underlying reason for a din and then see when that din should apply. So it seems like Rabbi Yaakov's shitta is somewhat similar to that. He's saying the underlying reason why the Torah demands that the person be present is so that he can give arguments on his behalf. And since a shur can't do that, then therefore that wouldn't apply. Whereas the Chachamim don't hold of that. They don't hold Darshin and Taima Dekra. And therefore they say that's it. It's a gzeres hakosev that the one that's going to be sentenced has to be present. Okay. So anyway, so that explains the machlokas between Rabbi Yaakov and the Chachamim. Okay, next we said in the Mishnah, Mosrei l'shem chinam l'shoy ochola. We said if the owner gave over the animal, had previously given the animal to one of the four kinds of shomrim, So then we said the shomer takes the place of the owner in terms of being chayev in any nizokin that the animal does, because he took responsibility for it.
Is this before the nizokin took place?
We're talking before the nizokin took place, right? So Tana Rabbanan, arbon nichnasu tachas abaylim. There are four cases where they take over the responsibility from the owner. The Elohein shemachinam v'asheril nesesocha v'asecha. The four kinds of shomerim. Horgu. Now, what happens is if the animal kills while it's in the reshus of the shomer, so then the usual rule applies. Tamim neharogim turim inakofer. If the animal was a tam, then the animal is going to be killed, and then we have the discussion that we said before: whether the shomer returns it before the gemar din, is that good enough? And now he's potter, or are we still going to be mechayev him according to the chachamim? Well, rather we said if he returned it before the gemar din, then we said definitely it was fine. If we said after gemar din, then we said Rabbi Yaakov would hold these potter, the chum would hold these chayev, right? But anyway, hogu. So if the animal kills, tamin neharogin or pturim nakoifer. So as usual, if the animal is a tam, it's going to get skila. The shomer is potter from koifer because koifer only kicks in once the animal is a muad. Muadin neharogin or shaman is a koifer. And if the animal was a muad, then it's also going to be killed, and then the shomer is going to be paying the koifer. Continues the Braisa, that the shomer is going to have to return, is going to have to repay the value of the shomer to the owner, with the exception of a shomer chinam, which is going to be potter from that. Now, why that is, that's what the Gemara is going to discuss. Amri heichidami. So they ask, they asked in the yeshiva, what is the case over here? Now you have like this. When it comes to guarding an ox, you have different levels of shmira. Yeah, we've touched on this before. We're going to talk about it more on Omer Beis. You have shmira pchusa. You have a lesser kind of shmira, which would be, for example, you put up a door which will stand in a normal wind. So as long as weather conditions are fairly normal, then the animal will stay locked up in there. But then you have a hurricane comes and it'll knock down the door, and the animal can get out. So that's only shmira pchusa. It's not shmira ma'ula. Shmira ma'ula would be you put up a steel door and there's no way anything is going to knock it down. And yet some act of Hashem happened, or someone else, a ganav or whatever, came and broke down the door, or opened the door, or whatever, and the animal got out. We're going to learn on Omer Beis. We're going to have a machlokas. What do you need as far as a tam, and what do you need as far as a muad in terms of these kinds of shmira?
We learned that shmira. Aruba is for a tam. And
we're going to talk about that in a bit.
Wait.
Why is the shomer over here have to pay the kofer fee? If it didn't happen, everything come wood in his property. He, the first two was someone else's property. Now he became wood.
Well, I mean, so
that will happen by him.
The pashtus, we'd have to be talking about that it all happened by him.
Yeah.
Anyway. So hechi dummy. So what's the scenario? Eden natre, if he actually guarded the animal, and he did shmira ma'ula, he did a strong kind of shmira. So afilo kulu nami lifteru. So all of them should be potter. Okay, when we say all of them, strictly speaking, means besides the shoyl. Fine, a shoyl is chayiv noinsin, but a shem chinam, a shem socher, and a socher are all potter for oinsin. And even the shoyl, Tosfos points out. Fine. To be exact, the shoyl would have to pay the value of the ox back to the owner. But at least he should be potter from koifer, because to that extent we shouldn't be mechayev him because he did shmira maula. And the idolin natre, and if he didn't watch it properly, afilu shemachinam nichayev, then even a shemachinam would have to pay back because he was pesheya. So what's the scenario over here where we're talking about where all of them are chayev except for the shemachim?
Shemachim had to pay koifer.
That's what we're saying. Uh-huh. But yeah. So the answer, Amri. So the answer, Hochab Maiskinen, the natri shmira pchusa, v'lo natri shmira ma'ula. The difference is that he did a shmira pchusa. He put up a door. But it wasn't a strong enough door. It was a door that'll stand Baruch Mitsuya, but then comes a Ruach She'ena Mitsuya and knocks it down. Well, that's the thing. So Shemachinam, Shemachinam Kosalo Shmirasai. When it comes to a Shemachinam, his Shmira has ended, meaning all he needs to do in order to be considered a valid Shemachinam. And with a Shemachinam, remember, the only thing he's chayav for is Pshia, only when he's downright careless with the thing that he's watching. Well, by putting up Shmira Pusa, he's not careless anymore. Exactly. Therefore, he's accomplished the Shmira that he needs to. Therefore, he's potter to pay. Therefore, he's potter from paying back the value of the shirt. Now, he would still need kapara, Rashi points out, because he still needs kapara for the fact that an ox that was under his control killed. Therefore, we're going to make him pay koifer, but he doesn't have to pay the value. But he doesn't have to pay back the value of the ox to the to the owner.
Even for a time, yes.
Yeah, no, not for a time. Of course not. We're talking about for a more.
What? Okay.
Yeah. So on the other hand, Hanach like Kolsa Shmirasan, but when it comes to the other ones, they have a stronger degree of Shmira that they have to do. For them, Shmira Pchusa is not enough. So therefore, relative to them, would be considered Pshia. Therefore, not only do they have to pay the Kofa, which fine, even the Shemachinam will, they're also going to have to repay the value of the ox to the owner because that was Pshia. Interesting in this connection, actually, when the Rambam brings this halacha in Hilchos Nizkei Mammon, and the Chachmei Luno asked him, he wrote a halacha over there that said, the version of it that they had in front of them said something like, if he gave it over to a shomer, then the owner is potter and the shomer is chayev. And the Chachmei Luno asked him, based on this gemara, it doesn't seem to work out. And the Rambam says, you know what? You have an incorrect version of my sefer. You have to remember, it was all in hand. It was all in manuscript at that point. And he gives them the correct girsa, which we have in our Rambams, which agrees with what we're saying over here. That if he gave it over to a shomer, then it depends whether the shomer did shmira pchusa or shmira meula or whatever. In fact, by the way, there are Rishonim who learn over here, and in fact, the Rambam also learns. That different than what Rashi is saying over here. Rashi is saying that when we say over here, he's going to be chayev and kofer, means even the shermachinam, because he's still going to require kapara. On the other hand, the Rambam and a number of other Rishonim hold that no, actually he will be potter from kapara as well, because again, as far as him, all he needs is shmira pchusa, and then that patters him from everything, even from kofer.
Kofer is just because someone got killed, right?
Kofer is because somebody got killed, but specifically it got killed by a muad, yeah. But,
why is he paying kofer?
So that's the thing. Rashi says, because you have to consider there's two different things over here. There's a chiyuv of money to the owner because he was careless with the animal. Well, he wasn't careless. He did shmira pchusa. On the other hand, there's a kapara that he needs for the fact that a human being, that a yid, was killed by his shur, or what's temporarily his shur, and therefore you should need kapara. So according to Rashi, we're saying that even the shemachinam is going to require kofer. I'm saying the what we're saying is the Rambam and a number of other Rishonim learn that actually no, he would be potter even from Koifer, because the fact is he did the kind of Shmira, right. he did the kind of Shmira that he's supposed to, right.
Shmira
Pchusa for Shemachinam is good enough, right.
Right. Whereas for a time, you need smear of ma'ula.
Well, that's what we're going to learn on Omid Beis, whether that's so. But yeah. Okay. Sense, but... Yeah, well, we're going to see soon. Yeah. Okay. So Amri, but now the Chachamim ask, demand. Well, if we're going to explain the Braisa that way, we're going to say, in other words, that the reason why the Shemachinim is Potter and everybody else is Chayiv, it was Shemira Kusa. Well, come on, who is this Braisa following? E could have mayor if it holds like a mayor who says that by a muad you need Shemira Meula. And therefore, he or the animal was a muad, and therefore he did shmira ma'ula, and therefore he only did shmira posa, and it's not enough. And furthermore, Rav Meir also holds that a soicher has the dinim of shemachinam. So therefore, because after all, the Torah specifies what the dinim are for shemachinam, for shemasacher, and for a shoyl. The Torah doesn't specify in so many words what are the dinim of a soicher, where he rents it. All the Torah says is Msachihu Bobischore. He's come with his payment, implying that he has a lesser degree of responsibility than the Shoyal. How much less? You have a machlokas in several places in Shas, whether he's like a Shemasachar or like a Shemachinam. Well, Rav Meir holds that he's like a Shemachinam. So then in that case, listen, chutz mishemachinam v'asoicher. Well, then the Braisa should have said that everybody except for Shemachinam and a Soicher is Potter in this case. because according to him, a soicher and a shemachinam have exactly the same dinim. The e could have yehuda dam a shemachinam dami. If the braisa goes like Rabbi Yehuda, who says that a soicher has the dinim of a shemachinam, and therefore, he would have a higher degree of responsibility. Well. But he also holds further down on this amud that with a muad, it's enough to do shmira posa. So then, in that case, so nisni chutz mishemachinam v'kulan b'mu'odin p'turin l'inin kofer. Then the Mishnah, the Braisa should have said, the Braisa, fine, it could say chutz mishemachinam, but it should say that all of them are potter by mu'od as far as kofer, because they did shmira p'chusa, and Rabbi Yehuda would hold by mu'od, shmira p'chusa is enough. So who is the Braisa like? It doesn't seem to be inconsistent, whoever it goes like. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna bar Chinan, Hamani Rav Eliezer. You can answer that the Braisa goes like Rabbi Eliezer, the Omar, where he says in the next Mishnah, Ein lo shmira el sakin. Rabbi Eliezer says, by a muad, even shmira ma'ula is not enough. The only valid shmira for a sure muad, says Rabbi Eliezer, is to shecht it. So therefore he can be mechayev. The shomrim, even if they did shmira ma'ula, let alone when they did shmira posa. So therefore, that is why they're going to have to pay kofer. As far as the value of it, as far as repaying the owner the value of the shur, they should have done shmira ma'ula because they're getting paid, and therefore, that's why we're going to be except for the shur machinam, because he's not. So that would make the braisa work. So we say the braisa goes like Rabbi Eliezer. So all of them are chayev because it was only shmira posa, and they didn't do the Rabbi Eliezer considers the only valid shmira ma'ula is to actually shecht the animal, and they didn't do that. Therefore, we can be mechayev them koifer, and in all four of them according to Rashi, and we can be mechayev them three out of the four of them to pay the value of the ox back to the owner because they didn't do that. Now Rashi points out you can't say the cases where they did shmira ma'ula, because then at least they should be potter from paying the owner. Fine, aimless shmira el sakin would be a reason to be mechayev them in koifer. They still can't say, the owner still can't say, look, you should have shechted my animal. What do you mean? We borrowed it from you, or we rented it from you, or whatever. It wasn't our business to shecht it. So they can say, if they did shmira ma'ula, if they actually put up a strong door, for example, then they have every right to say we shouldn't have to repay you for the animal, except maybe a shoyl, fine, because a shoyl is chayiv even ba'onsin, but certainly not a shemasacher and a soicher. So we have to say necessarily we're talking about where there was shmira posa. That is why we can be mechayev the shemasacher or the soicher or the shoyl to repay the value of the animal to the owner. And because in addition, according to Rabbi Eliezer, ein lo shmira el sakin, therefore in addition we can also be mechayev them to pay the koifer to the yoshim of the victim.
This is after the nezik, the sakin.
This is talking about, no, of course, if they shechted it, then it's impossible for it. No, we're talking about he didn't do sakin. That's the point. They didn't shecht.
But if they would have sakin,
if they shechted it, then obviously there's no nezik. Then the animal didn't cause damage. Abaya omel olam kira meir. Abaya says a different answer. You could make the braisa work like a meir. You're saying, according to the mayor, the problem is that a mayor holds that a soicher is like a shem chinam. So why did the braisa say there's an exception only for a shem chinam? It should say for a shem chinam and for a soicher. Because you could say the braisa is v'chidem machlif rabba baravu of a toni, because the braisa follows rabba baravu's version, which flips around the opinions. Soicher ketzid mashalim, the mayor oimek kashem a soicher, Rabbi Yehuda oimek kashem a chinam. Rabba baravu's version of the braisa has it the other way around. Reb Meir holds that a socher is like a shemus socher, and Reb Yehuda holds he's like a shemus chinam. Well, very well then, this Braisa follows that opinion. Therefore, according to him, a shemus socher is like a socher. A socher is like a shemus socher. So therefore, there can't be any exception for him. If there's no exception for a shemus socher, there's not going to be one for a socher either. And the Braisa would follow Reb Meir, who says you do need shmirah meula, shmirah pchusa is not enough. Therefore, by Shemir Chinam, it's enough for him to do Shemir Pchusa, but by all the other ones, they need Shemir Ma'ula, and if not, then they're chayav to pay the value back to the owner.
Where do you see this in the words? I don't see this.
We see right over here, because B'chidim, Abai Amal, Olam K'Rab Meir, the Braisa is going like Rab Meir. You have at the top of the Amud, we said the problem is that then it should say, Chutz Shemir Chinam V'hasoicher. The answer is because this Braisa holds that a Meir holds that a Soicher is like a Shemir Socher. The answer is the Braisa follows Rabbi Baravu's version. So that takes care of the problem that we said at the top of the Amud, that it should have said, and now all we need is that the Braisa should follow an opinion that says that you need Shmira Ma'ula, and that is the opinion of a mayor further down on the Amud. The Gemara continues, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Moser Shurda the Shurma Chinam, if a person gave his Shur to a Shurma Chinam to watch, Hizik Chayel. If that ox caused damage, then the Shurma is going to be Chayel to pay for the Nezik. Huzak, but if the animal itself was injured by another animal, Potter, then the Shurma Chinam is Potter. So Amri, so they asked, Hey Chidami, what's the scenario? Id Kabbalah Lishmiras Nezokav. If we're talking about that the Shomer took on himself the responsibility to guard against any Nezokin, whether this animal that he's watching is the one that was is the one that injures or the one that was injured, Afilo Huzak Nami L'Chayev, then he should be Chayev even if it was injured because he took responsibility for that. The idol like Kabbalah Lishmiras Nezokov, if he wasn't accepting responsibility for Nezokin at all, he says to begin with, when I'm accepting the animal, I'll take care of it, I'll feed it, I'll water it, or whatever, but I'm not taking responsibility for Nezokin. So then Hizik Nami Lifter, then he should be potter either way because he didn't take that responsibility. So what's the case where he's Chayev, where it caused Hezek, but potter if Hezek was caused to it? We are talking about we accepted responsibility for the Nezakin. Because we're talking about where the Shomer knew that this ox is prone to goring, and he accepted Shmira. So by default, we assume that what kind of responsibility is he accepting? He's willing to accept on himself the responsibility that show shouldn't go and cause damage to others. But that other oxen should go and injure it, especially since given that it's prone to gore. Then Rishonim point out, then therefore other animals are more likely to stay away from it because they're afraid of it. Because other animals should attack it. He didn't picture that. He didn't imagine that. Therefore, we can pater him for that because we can assume that when he took on the Shmira of Nezokin, without specifying, he didn't mean to take on something for that. Mishnah says.
Or he had confidence that.
He had confidence maybe that no other animal will attack it. Yeah. Okay. Mishnah says. Koshre Baila B'moseira. If the animal. Now let's talk about what kind of Shmira is necessary for a Tam versus a Mor. This point that we were dealing with a little bit before. Koshre Baila B'moseira. If the owner of the animal tied it up with a rope, the knob in front of Karoi, or he locked the door, or closed and locked the door properly in front of it, where properly means it's something that would stand Beruach Mitzoya, which is what we called before Shmira Pchusa, the Yotz of a Hizik, and it still went out and caused damage, Echad Tam, Echad Mor, Chayev, Divid a Meir, then a Meir says you're going to be Chayev whether the animal was a Tam or a Mor. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Tam Chayv, Mord Potter. Rabbi Yehuda says, you're only Chayv if the animal was a Tam, but if it was a Mord, then you're Potter once you did Shmira Pchosa. Shenema, because the Pasuk says, Velo Yishmirenu Ba'olav, because the Pasuk says by a Mord, the owner has not guarded it. And that Pasuk is talking about a Mord, meaning, in other words, that, so Vishramu Hosea, in this case, he has done Shmira. So therefore, even Shmira Pchosa is enough. Now, what's the logic behind it? Here again, you have this point that the Meiri says, once you have a coil, the animal is a moor, then people and animals know to stay away from it. So therefore, therefore Rabbi Yehuda figures that a Shmira Pchosa is enough for it. Rabbi Eliezer, in the Shmira El Sakin, Rabbi Eliezer says, like we said before, no, the only valid way of Shmira for an animal that's moor is to shecht it. And if you don't, then you're responsible whether you did Shmira Pchosa or Shmira Mo'ola.
That's really outrageous.
So, it's not outrageous.
You're going to do a Shmira, it says, oh, only way I can do Shmira is I'm going to
shecht it. The answer is, once the animal is a moor, then you have that responsibility. Yeah. You have, after all, the concept Ein v'shochat elo moshach. Shchita is the Gemara mentions in Cholim that shchita is a back and forth motion, but it also includes the idea of moshach, like you're bringing this animal to a higher level of kedusha. So therefore, in a certain sense, when it comes to avoider, Rabbi Eliezer is saying that you have a person has their own internal shur. Sometimes it's gotten so bad, the only thing you can do is in v'shochat elo moshach. You have to completely go and elevate it to kedusha. There's no way that you can just guard it anymore and say that just guarding shmirat pchosa, shmirat me'ola is enough. So the same way he's saying over here.
We're talking about before.
We were saying that according to shmirat chinam, maybe not, but the other kinds of shmirat me'ola. So the Gemara says, so it comes out, in other words, in short, Rashi says you have three opinions. According to the mayor, if it was a Mord and you did Shmira Pchosa, you'd be Chayev. If you did Shmira Me'ula, you'd be Potter. According to the Yehuda, you'd be Potter either way. And according to the Eliezer, you'd be Chayev either way. So the Gemara says, my time I did a mayor. So why does a mayor say that you need Shmira Me'ula for a Mord? Kasavar. Because the mayor holds stam shvarim lav becheskas shimur kaimi, most oxen are not guarded, meaning people don't usually guard their oxen to prevent them from causing damage. They usually just let their oxen wander around freely. So the Torah is saying, Hashem is saying, when it comes to a tam, be mechayev him when the animal injured, when the animal caused damage, when it was a tam, and that way, that way he'll learn in the future, at least after you do shmirat pchosa, at least after close the door to the stall to prevent the animal from getting out. Then when the Torah says by a mord, when it adds the words v'loyishmiranu, that means then that means that now at this point, it's a mord, shmirat pchosa is not enough. Now you need to upgrade to shmirat me'ula. The Yalef negichalatam negichalamord, and we learn by Gzeira Shava that the same rules apply to tam and to mord, because in other words, without the Gzeira Shava, we would say fine for a tam shmira pchosa is enough, for a mord you need shmira m'ula. But after all, we have a Gzeira Shava between them because by both of them the Torah uses the expression ki yigach or words to that effect. So you learn ultimately that the same din that applies to a mord, says your mayor, applies to a tam as well. So both of them require shmira ma'ula rather than if you only did shmira pchosa, then you're going to be chayim. Rabbi Yehuda Silver Stam Shvarim Becheskas Shimu Kaimi. Rabbi Yehuda holds people do generally watch their oxen to prevent them from causing damage. So therefore, v'omer achmana tam nishalim. So the Torah is telling us that when the animal is a tam, you still have to pay. Dini boile shmira mu'ula, meaning because in other words, you did shmira pchusa until now, but that's not good enough. You really need shmira mu'ula. So therefore, so you didn't do shmira mu'ula. Therefore, and your animal, your tam, went and caused damage. Therefore, you chayim. Then when it comes to a mu'ud, when the Torah says v'lo yishmiranu, now it can't mean shmira mu'ula. We already have shmira mu'ula by the tam that the Torah is requiring us. Therefore, the never le shmira mu'ula. So what is it saying? You need shmira mu'ula. Have a ribu yachar ribu. So therefore, that's one ribu after another. Then ribu yachar ribu. Elolamayit miyat akosav le shmira mu'ula. I mean, the Torah is downgrading and saying you don't need the shmira mu'ula anymore. You're going to say, what about the Gzeira Shava between Tam and Mord? The fact is, but the Pasuk says, and that he doesn't guard it, meaning lazeh, he only has to guard this one, v'lo la'acher, not a different one, meaning, in other words, that the Torah itself is clearly making a distinction between a mu'ad and a tam. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? V'homi bo'le la'lav. What do you mean? The fact is, the word v'lo yishmerenu, we need to be told that if he doesn't guard it, what happens if he doesn't? V'lo yishmerenu, if he doesn't guard it, then he's going to be chayiv, implying that if he guards it, he's potter. So we need the word v'lo yishmerenu for that. And the answer is, imkein nich rechmano v'lo yishmer, because then the Torah could have said v'lo yishmer without the yishmerenu. My v'lo yishmerenu, lazev v'lo l'acher, it means that it's a miut. It's not just legufa, it's not just lav, or Tosfos actually brings a girsa, legufa, meaning just to tell us that you have to guard it. But the point is, then it could have said v'lo yishmer and nu means that it's a miut only for this one, not for a different one. So therefore, it means that there's a difference between tam and muad, says Rabbi Yehuda. Tosfos, by the way, brings a girsa. Now, when we're saying over here, b'cheskos shimur kaimi and lav b'cheskos shimur kaimi, so Rashi had explained, Rameir's lav b'cheskos shimur kaimi means people don't usually guard their oxen to prevent them from causing damage. They usually just let them roam around free. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda would hold, svam shmon b'cheskos shimur kaimi, people do usually guard them. Tosfos brings a girsa the other way around, because when we talk about b'cheskas shimur, do we mean that what people usually do, or do we mean what is necessary to do in order to prevent the animal from causing damage? So you can have the other way around. Rav Meir holds that most oxen are b'cheskas shimur, meaning most oxen are in a guarded state, meaning in other words, your average ox is not prone to gore such that you should have to do anything to guard it. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda would say, "Stam strom la b'cheskas shimur kaimi." Your average ox is prone to going and getting and getting angry and goring.
That's bullshit.
Well, that's so this, right. So that's the thing. So
you, little college won't eat,
right. So right. So in other words, the question is: when we say b'cheskas shimur and not b'cheskas shimur, are we talking about what people usually do in terms of guarding the animals, or are we talking about the animal itself? Is it prone to gore or not? According to Rashi's explanation and the gears that we have in front of us in the Gemara, we're focusing on what people usually do. Do they usually guard their oxen, or do they not? According to Tosfos, according to Rabbi Natan's Girsa, it's the other way around. What is the ox itself normally prone to do? According to the Meir, it's not. According to the Meir, it usually is b'cheskas shimur in the sense that it's prone, that it's not prone to going and causing damage. So when it does, the first time, then the Torah says you have to start doing Shemira Pchusa. And after that, eventually, you upgrade to Shemira Ma'ula. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda, again, would say you start out with that the animal, by default, is dangerous, and therefore, as a tam already, you have to upgrade to Shemira Ma'ula, and then by a mu'ad, then again, we can downgrade to Shemira Pchusa because it says V'lo Yishmeranu, because of the miut and the pasim.
Just growing up, you always hear a bull, you have to be careful because they...
But it depends, really. I mean, you're saying bull, you always have to be careful. The truth is, it depends. The Gemara, for example, in Brachas mentions that when you're davening Shemana Esrei, if you see a bull, then you're allowed to interrupt Shemana Esrei in order to run away from it. However, the Gemara says, but they're only under certain conditions, only Shor Shachor Vimei Nissen, only when it's a black ox doing Nissen time, when the animal, like here, it's been cooped up all winter, and now it first gets to run around. So therefore, it's like feeling its oats and feeling very proud of itself and more likely to. But in other words, the implication would be that your average ox is not considered necessarily that dangerous. But yeah, obviously you're talking about bull, like in a bull ring, but fine, we learned about before. No. That's different. Bullfighting is a whole different thing. Okay. Fine. Okay, so the Gemara says, so that's the machlokas between Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, whether how we douse in the psukim. So the Gemara says, Tanya, now we have other opinions on the subject. We learn in a braisa, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds that either way, whether you did Shmira Pchusa for either a tam or a mu'ad, either way you're going to be potter. My timer, Savalak Rabbi Yehuda Dama Mu'ad b'Shmira Pchusa Sagila, he holds like Rabbi Yehuda who doubts in the Pesukim, as we said, to say that a mu'ad, all you need is Shmira Pchusa, the Yalef Negichal Tam and Negichal Mu'ad. Now he does hold of the Gzeira Shava between Tam and Mu'ad, because it says Negicha by both of them. So therefore he says, whatever applies to a Mu'ad has to apply to a Tam. If by a Mu'ad Shmira Pchusa is enough, then by a Tam also Shmira Pchusa has to be enough. Here we said before, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, we said we don't douse in the Gzeira Shava because it would be contradicted by the miut. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says you can do both. You have the miut, and then in turn, the Gzeira Shava tells you to apply that miut to the tam as well. However, the Gemara says, even Rabbi Yehuda, though, is only pattering him for the aspect that now the animal is a mur. As we've learned before several times, that Rabbi Yehuda holds sad tamus bim koima imedes. This is where we get this from. Rabbi Adaba Ava understands Rabbi Yehuda to be saying sad tamus bim koima imedes. When an animal becomes a mur, it's not that it loses the status of a tam and now becomes a different status to mur. Rather, a mur is a tam plus. Whatever applied to it as a tam continues to apply, and in addition, we have the dinim of mu'ad placed on top of it. So therefore, says Rabbi Adaba Ava, Rabbi Yehuda is only going to, when he says that Shmira Pchose is enough, and your potter would only be as far as the mu'ad part, Avot Sad Tamus, the fact that until now it was a tam, that still remains in place, and therefore, in other words, so he'd be chayev chatzi nezek. So like this, the animal became a mu'ad, and he only did Shmira Pchose, Rabbi Yehuda would hold, he still continues to pay only chatzi nezek. He doesn't pay nezek shalim, because he did Shmira Pchose, and Rabbi Yehuda learned from the Pesukim that for a mu'ad, Shmira Pchose is enough, but nevertheless, he will still be chayiv for the half of it that it was a tam. Tosfos says he's getting that from a svara, because you're not going to say that because it became a mu'ad, therefore he should be potter with shmirah posa. The logic would be he still has to be chayiv for the same kind of thing. Just for saying he's only going to be chayiv chatzin nezek. Now, according to the svara of the Meiri before that said once the animal becomes a mu'ad, people and other animals know to stay away from it, then that svara of Tosfos might not apply. Maybe we would say that Rabbi Adaba Abba would have to know in some other way at this point. He wouldn't just be able to learn it. He wouldn't just be able to learn it from svara.
It doesn't wear a sign,
but still in a small town, which is where people have oxen like that, everybody knows each other's everybody knows each other and each other's animals and whatever. Yeah. Tosfos points out that it means, in other words, that we end up applying this sad tamus from koyma emetis both lechumra and lekola. We learned previously, for example, that Sad Tamas bin Koyma Emedes, here we're saying that it applies Lakula, here we're saying it applies Lachumra, that we still require him to do Shmira Ma'ula, otherwise he's Chayiv for what it does at a time. We also learned that it applies Lakula, for example, that we say, according to Rabbi Yehuda, when the mu'ad causes damage, we still say Chatzi Nezek of it is paid only Migufa, only the other half of the Nezek is paid Min Ha'aliyah. Now, we've learned before, remember, that when we pay chatzin nezek, when the animal is a tam, we only pay migufoi, meaning that we only pay up to the value of the animal and no more than that. So you could have, let's say, the animal is worth 100, it caused 500 worth of damage, and now as a mu'ad, you're responsible for the whole 500, but chatzin nezek of it is only going to be payable out of the animal itself. That means one half of the nezek is going to be capped at 100. The other half of it, the 250, is going to be paid min aliyah. So altogether, he's only going to be paying 350, for example. And that's with they what? Min aliyah, right? Because he's paying 250 min aliyah, but he's paying only 100 migufay according to Rabbi Yehuda. So it comes out that we're using this concept of tzad tamas bim koyma emedes. We're using it lakula as well. And Tosfos says that's just it. Once we say tzad tamas bim koyma emedes, then we have to apply it across the board. If it applies the chumra and based on the svara that you can't say that you should have to do less shmita for it because it's a mu'ad, then it's going to have to apply lakula. It's going to have to apply lakula as well. One thing Tosfos does say is there would be a difference in what happens if the guy is moide in Beis Din. Now, as a tam, we say he's potter because moide b'knas potter, and by a tam, it's only chatzi nezek. By a mu'ad, he's moide, that he comes to Beis Din and says, my ox caused damage, and I'd be chayiv in chatzi nezek. So he's potter because chatzi nezek is a knas, and a knas, a moide b'knas potter. So now what happens if it's a mu'ad? Tosfos says, no, once the animal becomes a mu'ad, then even if we say sad tamas bim koyma emedes, we still say the entire payment now becomes mamon rather than knas. Therefore, we are going to be mechayiv him the payment. We're not forget about koifer. We're talking about as far as damages to animals.
Okay,
so koifer is not relevant, but we're going to be mechayiv him to pay the entire amount, the nezek sholem, because to that extent, we don't say that half of it is a knas and half of it is mammon. Rather, we say all of it becomes mammon. Okay, so we'll continue tomorrow, Bez Hashem. We'll finish up this matter of tam and mu'ad and finish off the parashah, Bez Hashem.